The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we receive that move of the Spirit. Let it start from here and carry us into the conference. Chains broken, mountains moving. For I will start a new thing, says the Lord. And that new thing is not entirely new. It's something I've been putting in your heart and putting in your spirit all this while. That I'm going to do for you, do with you, and do through you. But then it's like you've been asking, when will it be? When will it come? When will it start? And the Lord said, I've put this meeting together as a way to bring it to accomplishment. For that which you've heard for years that God will do, He will do in Zoe. Way. For that which you've waited for so long, He will bring them to reality in Zoe. Way. It's a time, the season for new things, new doors, new openings, new beginnings. And we are starting again, starting again. God, lefro tika mate korova tena. Zuletia na shinda kora. Ziaka. Vretete. We will see the fruits of many years of prayers. Fruits of many years of labor. We will reap it as a way. The faith you've been confessing and confessing and confessing for days. The reality appears in Zoe. As we step into the meeting, it will seem as though it's a new thing God is doing, but in reality it's not really new. God has been preparing you for them, but as a way you're going to walk fully into them. Lovra tete inakona, for it shall sound like suddenly. Only you know it was not sudden. You've been praying for it, you've been preparing for it. God will bring it to reality once we get into the conference. And so the season is here for new things, new to men, but old to you, because God has prepared you all the while for these days. And so prepare, the season is here. The season is here for new things, new things. And this cuts across your spiritual life, to touch your academics, to touch your finance, to touch your family, to touch your health. All He has spoken to you, all you've believed God for, all you've put your faith in God for, who will reap the fruit of faith in Zoe. The season is here. And so let your heart be ready for what God is about to do, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, my heart is set. Say, my heart is set. Glory to God. Let's be seated, maybe for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can already perceive the meeting. Hallelujah. So this morning, just like we did last week, glory to God. I believe we all have a seat, so ushers can sit. Okay. So last week it started off with the move of the Spirit. How many of you were here? You were here last week. Let me see your hand. Were you blessed? It's going to be amazing this morning. You know, apart from this meeting's blessing us, the major one purpose of these meetings that we are having this period is to prepare you for the meeting that is coming, which is Zoe. You know, Zoe is the meeting. It is the conference. There are conferences and there is the conference. Do you understand? Zoe is that conference. The very conference. Do you understand? So, we are using all these conferences to prepare you for the conference. So, if all these conferences are like this, so how will the conference now be. Glory to God. Are you ready? And so, one of the things we said last week is the fact that, of course, when I start teaching, you should know that there is a move of God amongst us. Do you know that? So you are very, very attentive. Very, very, open your ears, open your eyes, and be smart, spiritually smart. Yeah, be spiritually smart. What that means is that every part of you must be connected to what is happening here. Okay, and so I was talking about the move of the Spirit last week, and I made a very important point. When we talk about the move of the Spirit, what people understand is, I was saying something last week, if I say, draw the move of the Spirit, maybe you're an artist, I say, draw it, you're going to draw maybe a cloud, or draw maybe waves. But actually, that is not God's move at all. The move of the Spirit actually is the move of men. When you hear that the Spirit moved, what it actually means is that men moved. Don't ever forget this. And we showed many scriptures last week. For instance, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. This will help you as we get into the meeting proper. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So, 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Are you there? Are you opening your Bible? Are you opening your Bible? Have you opened your Bible? Do you have a Bible? Okay, raise up your Bible. Let me see. Everybody. Raise your Bible up. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I have a Bible. Do you have one? Ask somebody. Okay, and so we look at the Bible. He said, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now see verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Now, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so actually there was a move of the Spirit, but that move was men. It moved men to speak. Amen? Another example, and I'm going to start with that one properly, is Acts 13. In Acts 13, from verse 1, we read the story of certain prophets and teachers who were gathered in Jerusalem at a certain time to pray. And the Bible gave us their name. He said, come on, King James, don't do this NLT thing until I tell you to. He said, now that we are in the church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. So, let's see their names. Barnabas, next person. Simeon, next person. Lucius, Manan, which have been brought up. So, how many names have we seen now? Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manan, four. And then who? Saul. Is that correct? Look over to verse 1. Did you take notes? So, let's count again. Who are they? Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manian, Saul, right? Of course, they explained who Manian was. He had been brought up with Herod, Tetrad, and now Saul. So, this was a meeting of five people. You know, this I listed this to let you know. You see, when you hear the Lord say, Sephanos, Paul, and Barnabas, and there was a great call that came upon them, naturally you will think that it happened in one mega meeting. It happened in a meeting of five people. Are you following me? This is why you don't take Christian meetings for granted. That mega move of God that took over the whole world, that gave us the New Testament books that we have, happened in a meeting of how many people? Five people. And that makes a lot of statements about Christian meetings. In fact, the biggest blessings I've received in my life, I think I received in moments that you are not expecting. You know, that's why I normally tell people, when we come for meetings like Zoe, some of us are busy waiting for when Papa will come up. You say, is Papa upstage now? You say, yes, you now come. Actually, it happens at the times, sometimes when people have not finished coming. When one or two people already are still in the hall, and we're just doing opening prayer, and then there will be a move. Well, verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, verse 3. Come on, first of all, who said in verse 2? Who made that statement in verse 2? Go to verse 2. Who said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas? The Holy Ghost. Right? The Holy Ghost. Now, verse 3. So, put that somewhere. The Holy Ghost said, verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed. So, who fasted and prayed? Men. The other three. Do you understand? And laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Be in this verse. Go back to verse 3. Be in that verse. Put up NLT. Watch so that you don't miss it. And then he said, so after more fasting and prayer, the men, not God though, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Verse 2 tells us the Holy Ghost said, if you are not careful, you would have thought that what happened is that the Holy Ghost started announcing from heaven, my people, separate unto me. Mm-mm. Verse 3 now told us actually it was men that laid hands on them. But the icebreaker is now verse 4. Look at verse 4. So they being sent forth by who sent them? Who laid hands on them and sent them forth in verse 3? Men. Who sent them forth in verse 4? Is it two different sending? Huh? Same sending. The sending of men is the sending of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me, friends? The move of men is the move of the Spirit. So that explains to you what's not happened in verse 2. That when the Bible said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas," it wasn't a voice echoing from heaven. It was the voice of men. So they were praying, five of them, and one person, and just like they were praying. And then Sister Rose said, "Who has a word for us?" That's how it happened. Are you following me? Who has a word for us? And then who came up? Minister Udi. Man came up and said, actually, I had this in my spirit while we were praying. Separate unto me. Minister Mona and, and Minister Angel for the work I've appointed them. I wanted to understand it this way. I didn't get the point. It wasn't like they were praying and then God began to shout from heaven. Hello guys, I want to talk to you guys. Separate. Oh, no. One person stood up and spoke. They now laid their hands on them. The Bible now says the Holy Ghost sends them. And so, when we talk about the move of God is actually the move of men of God. So, when men of the Spirit move, the Spirit has moved. Are you following me? Now, and this will change a lot of things for you as we get into Zoe. When men of the Spirit move, the Spirit has moved. And so, let me make a very important point. This now means that the move of the Spirit in any meeting we gather is fully dependent on the people who are present in that meeting. Let me say it again. The move of the Spirit is dependent on the people present in the meeting. It's not dependent actually on God, because the move of the Spirit is the move of men. Let me explain it further. How we will receive from a meeting is not dependent on God. How much power we will see in a meeting is not dependent on God. It's dependent on the men in the meeting. And so we are the ones that will determine the amount of power that will be in Zoe. It's not God. Please pay attention. Even in this service now, we are the ones that will determine the amount of influence we are going to have in the Spirit, in this service. It's not God that determines. You know, I'm a pastor, and before I started pastoring, I traveled a lot to preach, you know. Every week, I was on the road. And I noticed something. And some of you that have preached before, you will know. There are some meetings that you enter. It's like, it's very easy to minister. Before you raise your hand to say Jesus, power is everywhere. I get the point. There are some other meetings that when you get to, you have to be serious. You are trying, it looks like there is a wall. You are trying to break through it. See, the move of the Spirit in every meeting, let me make another statement, is dependent on the spiritual growth of people in that meeting. Let me say it again. The move of God in any meeting is dependent on the spiritual growth of the people that attended the conference. So our response to this in a meeting is what will determine the amount of flow or move of God that we are going to see in any meeting. Let me show you one more example. Matthew chapter 13 verse 54. This is about Jesus. I want to use Jesus because, of course, Jesus is a powerful man. We all believe Jesus is one of the, of course, he's the most powerful. We are all learning from him. We the learn work. So Matthew 13:54. You see where Jesus came for evangelism. He came for mission. 54. Glory to God. Are you there? Are you in Matthew 12:54? Matthew 13, rather 54, not 12. Are you in Matthew 13, everybody? Please open your Bible. Are you there now? Have you opened it? So can they take it down from the screen? So you read from your Bible? Now take it down from the screen, everybody. Open Matthew 13, verse 54. I'll wait for you a little more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, in so much that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all these things? Verse 57. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save where? In his own country and his own house. 58 is where I'm going to. Let's just get everybody. He did not do many mighty works there. So Jesus came for mission and could not perform miracles. He performed only a little. Jesus, who? Are you getting the point? The attitude of the people in the meeting determined the amount of miracles that he performed in that place. They saw him like, who is this one? You know, and he didn't understand. Just, they grew up with him. You understand? Just like somebody you grew up with and all that. And suddenly, he just comes. A guy where you know where they street. Or maybe one of your friends. Hallelujah. And especially that friend you don't rate. Jesus was a carpenter. So he just came up with us. Let's say, the Lord said, he said, who is this one? And he did not do. So what determined the amount of miracles they had in that place was their attitude. So because there was a way they acted towards the meeting and towards Jesus, he did not do many mighty works. Now pay attention. Jesus is always good. How many of you know that? He always wants to do mighty works. He couldn't do the mighty works because of their attitude. So actually, men can stop the move of God even if God is willing to move. Are you getting me? So when we gather in a meeting, what will determine the kind of influence we're going to have in the meeting is us and not God. Like this morning, what will determine what is going to happen here is not God, it's you. Therefore, you must yield yourself to the influence of the Spirit for us to have a very great flow. How you respond to a meeting, you know, is what is going to. You know, sometimes when the Bible says, you know, for instance, everywhere you find the move of the Spirit, everywhere in the Bible, you will find men doing something. In Acts chapter 2, put up Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They were in one accord in the upper room. Did that not pray to God? Verse 2. Verse 2. They were in one accord in that place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Okay, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire, it sat upon each of them. Now, that was not the real move. See the move in verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened? Began to speak. Every time there's a move of God, people must do something. Zoe is coming. Amen. We are going to have a mighty, mighty, mighty move. But it will be dependent on what you do. Are you following me? If they had come, the wind had come, fire had sat on them, but they did not speak, there will be no move. The move is in the action of men. The coming of the wind and the fire demonstrates God's plan and God's intention. Their speaking demonstrates their cooperation with the plan of God. How many of you understand what I'm talking about at all? Are you here, church? Let me say it again. The wind and the fire that came represents God's mindset, what God wants to do. All the prophecies that have gone ahead of Zoe represents God's mindset on what he wants to do. Amen? Now, the speaking, they are speaking, now represents their cooperation with the wind and the fire. So if the wind and the fire had come, but they did not speak, there will be no move. Are you following me, church? And so for us to have a mighty move of God in the coming meeting, We must cooperate. Every time you find a move of God, there is always the action of men. Let's go to a popular scripture we'll be reading every day. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's go. Let's do it together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. How is it then, brethren? Eh? When you come together, every one of you has. Let all things watch. So when we come together, what brings a defying in the meeting is what every one of us is doing. One person is bringing a psalm, one person a doctrine. So if we all come and we refuse to bring psalm, refuse to bring doctrine, refuse, there will be no edifying. Now, that does not in any way mean that God does not want to edify us. We refuse to cooperate with the edification that is present. Next verse. Glory to God. Next verse, very quickly. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, let one interpret quickly. Verse 28, switch to NLT because of our time. He said, but if there be no interpreter, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. I've explained those scriptures later before. Let two or three people prophesy and let others evaluate what is said. Verse 30. But if someone is prophesied and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, you see this thing that they're explaining here. You will see it happen as a way. If it goes away, you see this happen every year. You will see people prophesying. Somebody stand up, prophesy. You will see all of this. Okay, next verse, verse 31. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak one after the other so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Now, verse 32. Remember that people who prophesy are what? People who prophesy are what? In control of. Do you know what it means? It means that you can refuse to, you can have a prophecy and refuse to prophesy. And God will not force it out of your mouth. You understand me? Meaning that the things of the Spirit are within our will. If we refuse to do it, it will not work. It will not happen. So, in Christian meetings, the move of the Spirit is determined by our attitude. Ephesians 5 verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, how do I get filled with the Holy Ghost? It's not to say, to open your mouth and say, fill me. You know, some of you that don't pray in tongues, let me give you a simple reason why you don't pray in tongues. Because you're a believer. Maybe you don't know, but you're a believer. You see? And tongues is living in you. But the problem is, when it's time to pray in tongues, maybe everybody start praying in tongues. You are waiting for Holy Spirit, move me now. You are waiting for God to just jam you like that. And your tongues are doing, that is the reason. You don't understand that the move of the Spirit is the move of men. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, but you are the one that will speak in tongues. You know, somebody was trying to criticize tongues. He said, these tongues that are speaking, how can somebody be eating and speaking in tongues? Somebody is baffling. I thought how they should speak in tongues is when Holy Spirit now carry you. You will not know yourself. You know, that is not tongues. As a matter of fact, God doesn't behave like that. If it happens, it's an exception. Because God does not override the will of man. Are you getting me, friends? He doesn't. You will know yourself. So you expect that when we lay our hands on you, you will now just fall. You will follow. And then lose consciousness. And then you wake up, you're saying, what did I say? It will not happen in Jesus' name. Amen. You will know yourself. So what? How do you pray in tongues? Simple. We pray for you. That spirit comes upon you. You will know yourself. And you start speaking. You know, this is very simple. I've explained this all the time. Okay, let me give an example. The day the Holy Ghost came, Acts chapter 2. Remember that day that they were in the upper room? And they were speaking in tongues. And the people came and said that they were drunk. Right? Let me ask you a question. How many of them were speaking in tongues in that room? 120. So people came and said they were drunk. And Peter stood up and told the people, no, we are not drunk. Many things happened. Number one, it means that when they said they were drunk, Peter was conscious enough to hear that they said that they were drunk. Is that true? Secondly, it means they had control
for Peter to keep them quiet to address the crowd. Are you following me? It was no time to be quiet, and John was saying, I can't help it. Shut up your mouth. What I'm trying to tell you is this move of the Spirit is within our will. If we want to pray, we pray. If we want to stop, we stop. So as the way, what are we going to do? We will yield our influence. We yield ourselves to the influence. Glory to God. God will not push you into it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love the Holy Ghost. So our attitude to the meeting determines the flow of the Spirit that will be in that meeting. I said again, this morning, your attitude here now will determine if I start preach as I'm preaching and you start sleeping. You're going to get nothing. And that's not because God is not moving. Hallelujah. A good Christian meeting is a meeting where everybody is bringing their input. Many things that we should have said, but I won't have time for all of them because Zoe is coming. Amen? And so I'm going to say two major things that are broad stuffs, but two major things. Number one, in coming for a Christian meeting, the kind of attitude you bring that will make for a good flow of the Spirit, you must come to the meeting and be in the meeting with and in faith for whatever you're expecting. The first thing that makes for a mega, mega move of the Spirit in a meeting is faith in the heart of people that came. You remember Matthew 13? Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because they had unbelief in their heart, there was no move. So what are you expecting for Zoe? You must come to Zoe with faith in your heart for that thing you expect. And that is what makes, do you know, I've explained this, when you come with that faith, it doesn't matter. Pay attention, no. It doesn't matter whether the man of God preaching talks about it or not. You must get that thing. Must. You see, even, do you know, I normally give this example. When there is so much expectation and faith, one example of that, I think that was the way 2019. We came around and, of course, the second night we had an awesome time. Mega, mega awesome time. And so the third night of the meeting, I was not planning to have any impartation or anything. You understand? My plan for that meeting that night was, let's just come and have a believers meeting where people just walk around, prophesy, give their neighbors, you know, talk to each other. But I came up the stage. The expectation in that atmosphere for laying of hands was thicker than the wall. You could feel it. I couldn't preach. Before I could say, Jack, the power of God was everywhere, I found myself in the crowd laying hands. By the time I finished meeting, I noticed that 80% of people that came for that meeting actually came that night expecting that this will happen. I had a different plan. They had a different plan. And God honored their different plan. Who is following me at all? He said, so why would God do that? Well, that is God for you. Faith always. Let me give you one or two scriptures. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I like this story. Like, I love this story. That is one of the greatest display of faith in Christian meetings ever seen in the scriptures. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching, everybody, sir, have faith. So what are you expecting for Zoe? You must come with a lot of faith in your heart for that thing. Watch what happens. While he was preaching God's word to them, quickly, four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They came expecting miracle for that man. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. That's crazy faith. I get the point. They entered, there was no room. Normal level would have been, let's go home. The first time I saw something that is raising the dead, I don't like talking about it, I call it raising the dead, but that was what it was because We didn't have any medical confirmation of the fact that he was dead. But this was what happened. Somebody was very sick. Why? The mission field, kind of. The lady was very sick. So from her house, the nurse let them rush her to our place. Right, I'm talking about 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the midnight. Amen? While they were rushing the lady and coming close to her place, she stopped breathing. Went cold. Went rigid. They tapped her. She couldn't move. Amen? 2 a.m. And then one of them said, "Shey, we are going to somewhere. Let us get there first." Amen? By the time when they arrived, the kind of sleep we were sleeping, because we just finished what you might call midnight prayers around after one or so. I don't think we've slept up to 30 minutes. I started hearing somebody banging the door. I said, if I wake up, let me know what caused it. I was sleeping and I really wanted to sleep. So they banged and banged. Somebody managed to get up and let them in. They said, somebody is dead. The important thing for me that night was to sleep. Now, see here, God honors faith. You see what happened here? Immediately, okay, let's finish this. I'm coming back to my story. They lowered the man in front of Jesus. Verse 5. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, it doesn't matter. That's what I want to see how faith works. It did not matter what Jesus was preaching that time. Even if he was preaching on how to live right, if he was preaching on relationship, it didn't matter. The important thing was that faith was standing before him. He couldn't ignore it. Are you getting me, friends? So immediately they brought the lady in. We managed to get up. So, you know, the place was a mission field. We had one room. Just one room. So when people come to see us, we have to carry the foam up. Have you seen that kind of setting? So I couldn't even sleep. I said, everybody get up. So I carried the foam up. I was leaning, not just all of us, we were leaning on the foam. You know when they carry foam up and keep it against the wall? So the dead girl was lying. Oh, Alini. Now I said, let's be singing. I'm telling you. It was a casual raising of the dead. Very casual. It's not this way you go and pray. You know sometimes when we go to pray like that? It's because sometimes even the guys you are praying for don't even believe what you're about to do. I get what I'm saying? They carried this girl for them to leave their house and carry a dead person to that place. They knew something was going to happen. We were still singing. The girl sneezed and sat up. Amen? I said, we were still singing. I knew that was not me. It wasn't anybody that came to that place. It was those people that came. Are you following me? When you are in a Christian, you come with so much expectation and then with faith for that which you're expecting. Let's not finish that story. I'll show you another one. Acts chapter 14. We saw this last week. I'll show you today again. Acts 14 verse 7. Paul was preaching. And the Bible was careful to tell us what Paul was preaching about. The Bible said, and there they preached the good news. They were preaching the good news. King James calls it the gospel. So they were not preaching about anything. They were preaching that Jesus died for sin. As simple as that. Now, verse 8. Glory to God. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving. Paul was not preaching about healing, but he perceived that the man had faith to heal. I'm coming to this because faith can be perceived. We can see faith. People say, I have faith in my heart. I'm coming to that. Perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Of course, verse 10, save the lamp, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. The faith the guy had in the meeting changed the course of the meeting. Come on. Are you following me? And so, we're coming for Zoe. So, what are you expecting? You can come with faith for that stuff. It doesn't matter whether I plan to pray about it or not. Are you getting me? Once we get in, because we are the ones determining what will happen in the meeting. It's not God that determines what will happen. We are the ones determining the kind of move we're going to have. So do you have faith in your heart? Do you have faith in your heart? You see, that's why I normally tell you guys, before you come to a meeting, one of the ways to steer faith in your heart for the meeting is to talk. Talk about the meeting. Make confession for your confirmation meeting. For me, if I go for any meeting, sometimes 1 month before that meeting, I'm already speaking what will happen. Where did you learn that from? Obviously from the Bible. That particular Matthew chapter 9 verse 18. And I will start from verse 18 for a reason. Before you come to a meeting, let me ask you a question. What are you expecting for Zoe? Give me an example. Huh? You're expecting direction, or you're expecting to flow in spiritual things to be imparted before the meeting comes. You now begin to confess, Father, thank you. Oh, after Zoe, at Zoe, I'm going to be imparted. I'm going to receive mightily the gifts of healing. Don't say it to your heart. Say it out. Once you are saying that, what you are doing is you are steering faith to your heart. See what happened. Watch this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. He said, while he spake these things unto them, I'm starting from here for a reason. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her. Stop here. And she shall live. Verse 19. And Jesus arose and followed him. So, where was Jesus going to pray for somebody that the daughter was dead? Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Let me ask you again. Where was Jesus headed to pray for a dead girl? That was the plan. So, his movement had direction. Just like when we are in a meeting, sometimes you have planned what to do in the meeting. Today is just for instructions, nothing more. Amen? Now, see what happened. Verse 20. And behold, a woman, which was diseased to an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched him of the garment. This woman was not in the agenda. Jesus was not going to go and see her. Jesus did not plan her in the itinerary. God did not speak about her. Are you getting me, friends? God did not tell Jesus that the woman will meet you. The plan is, we are going to pray for a dead person. But the woman came and touched. Now, see what happens. For she said within herself, if I may but touch. So what preceded her touch? Words. Words. Are you following me, church? What preceded her touch? What? Now, you notice where Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, are you feeling fine? Everybody here is pressing on you. How can you say who touched me? All of them we are touching. One woman, her words preceded her touch. She said. So when she touched, what she said had to happen. Are you getting me, friends? So what are you saying about Zoe? You must be saying something. Throughout this week, from today, you wake up every morning, every evening, you are pacing around. Oh, at Zoe, I will receive direction for this, that. Oh, at Zoe, this sickness, I'm not coming back with it. I'm going to be so healed, I'll be able to use this hand again. I'll be able to use... You are saying it before the meeting arrives. Morning, afternoon, night. See, that meeting, you are steering faith. Once you now touch, it will no longer be like everybody. That's the same thing happening in partition. That's why you notice, when I say, everybody line up, we're laying hands. And then, the same hands that is touching everybody, touches your head, and then there's a difference. Because you said something before the hand came. Who is following me at all? So you must, your words must precede the conference. Your words must go ahead of you in the conference. Father is away. I will receive direction for the next 5 years of my life. I will receive clear direction for the next 10 years of my life. I want spiritual fervency to be better than me. I will come back from Zoe on fire for God. I will come back with so much passion. You are talking. When, once you get into the meeting, it doesn't matter the topic they're preaching. Normally, I encourage people to tell all their expectation with the program of events for the day. But you see this thing called faith. When God does not ignore it. Hallelujah. Once you begin to use it, God gets involved. She said to herself. So before you come to the meeting, you steer your faith with your words. You talk. That's why, not just for Zoe, Sunday services must not be casual for you. Before you come to Sunday service,
Saturday night, begin to talk. Tomorrow I'm going to be blessed. Pastor is going to speak in my direction. He is going to speak to this pain in my hand. I will come back from service without this pain. You are talking. You are talking. When you get to the meeting, you will see it. Hallelujah. And that's why meetings can be everything for you. It depends on how you came for the meeting. The move of the Spirit in a meeting is dependent on the people in that meeting. It's not God that determines what happens. It is man. If you are still here, say amen. If you are still here, say amen. You know, another way you steer your faith before a meeting comes is by prayer. Prayer must precede. You know, Jude verse 20 said, you know, building up yourself with your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How to build up yourself in faith is to build up yourself in prayers. When you are praying, there's something prayer does to you, friends. When you are praying, you are getting your heart set in faith and by faith. You know, when we were teaching on Wednesday and prayer, I made this statement. If there is something you're expecting from God, and your heart, you are even wondering, is this thing possible? Spend time to pray about it. In praying about it for long, your heart is gradually aligning and believing that that thing can happen. Amen? Let me give an example. If you are trusting God for spiritual fervency, you know, some of you have never imagined how can somebody just come out like this. And I like this thing, the way this guy used to preach. I wish I can just be a pastor and be on fire for God. Just that this is no grimy. It's fine. Start praying about it. Once you put it in prayer, gradually your heart begins to see the possibility. This is the same for everything. Even money. You are trusting God for one crazy amount of money. Your heart cannot even comprehend that you can have money. You know that kind of money that when you see your account, you start calling your bank, sir, somebody made a mistake and transferred money to me. You can't believe it. You see, and the truth of the matter is that if your heart cannot believe it, you might never have it. So you now begin to pray. Prayer sets your heart to receive whatever God will give in any meeting. That's why we made you fast the other time. That's why from tomorrow we're going to be praying. It's not just because we want you to pray. I don't want you to come and waste your time in the conference. That's why I ask you to pray. No, nothing else. Okay? We have prayed enough for the way. If it's for like, we don't pray. The next 3 days now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, is for you. If not, you just come into the meeting like every other person and say, how was the meeting? Powerful. Say, what happened? Somebody got healed. You know, somebody that had cancer. God is moving in that church. God is moving in that church. You know, somebody that had headache. But this girl had not. You just have people's story. So, what happened to you? I was blessed. He said, in what way? All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. There is something prayer does. Let me show you a scripture that blessed me recently. Luke chapter 2 verse 25. When a meeting, you know, let me make a statement if I show you the scripture. When there is a move of God, only men of prayer can recognize the move easily. Do you know? Have you ever been in a meeting and suddenly the atmosphere of the meeting changed? Has it happened to you? It's only men. It's when God wants to do something. If you've not been a person of prayer, you will not know that something is about to happen. You know, I used to share a story with you guys. You remember that Kenneth Copeland story? Remember? He was in a meeting. Let me share the story for somebody I've not heard before. He was in a meeting, a Kenneth-taking meeting. And then he was sitting in front. And somewhere Brother Hagin was preaching. And then the Holy Ghost ministered to Brother Copeland. Kneel down and raise up your hand. They were not praying. Let me get the point. And he said, how can I just kneel down? If he's praying, how can you say that just preaching, I'm not doing anything, I should just kneel down and raise up my hand? But that was what the Holy Ghost said. He said the thing kept disturbing him. But the Hagin was still preaching, you know. Well, you know, the Spirit of the Lord. And suddenly, he just yielded. Because God was about to move in his direction. He needs a man. That's why I tell you, when I'm preaching, there's a way to follow my message. You follow it in the spirit. That's why sometimes I tell people when I preach, mutter in tongues. That's why you know what God is doing and what he wants to do. See, immediately, he knelt down. The next thing we saw, Brother Hagin step out of the stage and you heard, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And then God had told Brother Hagin that this guy is going to kneel down at a time in the meeting, and once he does, go there and launch him into his prophetic ministry. Are you getting me? Now imagine if Brother Copeland didn't even know that there was a kneeling to do. Are you getting the point? Meeting will just come and pass. That was a meeting, powerful, but you've missed out on a major point that God was supposed to change, to do for you. Something. But you didn't know. Are you getting me, friends? Now, it takes people that are giving to prayer. Now, let's see this scripture. Luke 2:25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man. Now, what happened there was, they brought Jesus for child dedication. Like they do 8 days. Like they do every other person. Who was Jesus at that point? A normal baby. That's what everybody knew. Nobody knew that the birth was supernatural, at least as at then. Joseph didn't tell anybody. Are you getting the point? So they just came to dedicate a normal child. This man, Simeon, was just on the boat waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Let's continue. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So they told him that he would see Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, so it was a normal thing, then took he him up in his hands and said, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy son. How did he know that was Jesus? That was a major move of God that was happening in Israel at that time. We just received the Messiah into the world. It takes holy men of prayer to know when God is moving. Continue. Because we're going to say another person. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, okay? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. He began to prophesy. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul too, also, that the thoughts of many has been revealed. You know this about the death of Jesus that he prophesied right here. He told Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul too. Well, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. 7 years. She was a widow of about 84 years. That's how many years? 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God. Come on, go back there. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You see people like that. Move, no, they pass them. God know they walk past. Anything God is doing, they will know. I get what I'm saying. Continue. Night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks like unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. So, how did this lady know that the Messiah had arrived? She was praying. So, they were all gathered in the temple. They came for normal child dedication, like they bring every other person. But then they brought that child in. This woman knew that this child is a move of God in our midst. Are you getting me, friends? Now, so as the way is going to come, you will prepare your heart. You will steer your faith by prayer. So the first thing I said, come with faith for the meeting. And steer that faith by your words and by prayer. And in fact, when you're in the meeting, let me drop this again about faith. Have an attitude that shows that there is faith in your heart. Because I'm going to say a little here before we just proceed. There must be an attitude you carry in a meeting. Remember, Acts 14 verse 8, Paul was preaching and saw the man and perceive that he had faith to be healed. So there is an attitude that shows that you have faith. Please, everybody, listen to me. This is where your attitude in the meeting is everything. When you have faith for whatever in a meeting, for an expectation, we will know. Yeah, we will know. You see, you can't come to a meeting expecting something. And that's where we talk about things like punctuality. You know, I shared a story with you last night that I didn't complete. I completed it, but then I skipped a part. How, you remember that story I told you guys of how I got imparted in one meeting like that? Remember? The Lord has already told me, this guy is going to lay hands on you. Do you know what I did? I've shared the story a couple of times. I did deliberately because I was expecting that thing, and I believe that once this man listens to me, everything will change. And so, it was a big meeting. And in a big meeting, just we're going to have Zoe now. Look at the number of persons here. Zoe, we have two or three times this crowd. I don't get the point. People come from all over the place. Now, if they start laying hands, there is every tendency that they will not reach me. Do you understand? They may tell all of us, take it. But what the Lord showed me was the hands were laid on me. So I knew what to do. Because I was expecting that, I decided not to go home. I slept in the hall. Don't do it. So I slept in the hall a night before that day. Well, they said nobody can sleep in this hall. That's a normal instruction, even here. Say amen. So they said nobody can sleep in this hall. It's not allowed. And I was pacing around. And I noticed that one or two persons were sleeping in the hall. So I said, why are you guys sleeping in the hall? They say we are sanctuary cleaners. I say, I am me. I clean sanctuaries. What do you think? That's what I do for a living. I'm a sanctuary cleaner. I brought mop, brought broom. We started sweeping. Amen. I knew what I wanted. Because I'm talking about punctuality. I had to be seated on time. I didn't want anything to pass me by. And I had to be seated in front. So we cleaned. I was very dramatic that day. After we finished cleaning and cleaning, I was expecting the man that preached, the man of God, well respected, had finished preaching. I'm not saying you do all of this, I'm just telling you a story. And had left his handkerchief on the stage. You know, so I went out as well, cleaning. I went up there. I took the handkerchief. I prayed in tongues. I said, Father, I used as a point of contact as this man is going to learn from me. I was expecting it. So after we finished cleaning everywhere, I went and picked my seat. Ebe 12-1 Abani can nawage this thing. Amen. I went up. I picked my seat. Before I picked that seat, this is not to embarrass myself, but there was no place to bath. So I washed my hand, you know, just some of you are like me. But I wanted to be there. So after I picked, I now dropped my Bible and sat on that seat I was going to sit and slept off on that seat. I didn't want to like go out to pick something and then I come back and they say, no, seats are reserved. This is not your seat. No. I sat there. Glory to God. There is an attitude that shows that there is faith. Bible said, Paul, looking at him, perceived that this guy gets faith. That's where punctuality comes in. You see, you cannot be expecting that God will touch you and change your life. And then, Thursday, meeting is starting by 4. You are strolling into the meeting by after 7. By the time you come in, we are rejoicing. Glory! You join us and rejoice. And you go home. And that's it. He said, did I not come? I understand that. You see, I understand that. I attended a meeting some time ago. And I was going to be late. I couldn't help it. You know, there are times some of us are walking. That's why this is a good time to take leave, to take break, take permission from work. It's a good time. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a good time. But then, I couldn't help it that period. Do you know, by the time the meeting started, I was already on my earpiece as I was still on my way. You have to show that you are in the meeting and you are for the meeting. And that you want what you are looking for in the meeting. So that's why we talk about punctuality. We talk about your attitude in the meeting. Glory to God. We talk about your attitude. For instance, when you see somebody that is expecting, one was preaching, the guy is taking notes, I was imagining it last night. What did Paul see to know that the guy had faith to be healed? Maybe it's how the guy was sitting and looking at him. You know, if you preach, if somebody is following, you used to know. Is it not true? Maybe there was a way the guy was sitting and, you know, just shaking. Paul saying, nah, this is a miracle right here. Stand up and walk. Hallelujah. Unlike you are preaching and they're sleeping. The pastor wants to just say, see, ushers, take this guy to the back. There must be an attitude that's showing
that you came with faith. There is also an attitude where we talk about honor for the minister. That was what happened in the case of Jesus. They didn't see Jesus as anything. Nothing happened. Amen? So that's what I told you. Why were you so expecting a common man to lay hands on you? And that is the honor in my heart. Amen? And I even, if I tell how I prayed for that invitation, I came with money. Because I already had planned that this man is going to lay hands on me and something will change. And I'm going to give to him because of that impartation. Everything was planned in my heart. I came with money, with envelope, packaged. I was that ready for everything and for anything. You must have a heart that is full of faith for what God is going to do. You know, in Zoe, you know, talking about money, in Zoe, you know, Sunday services will always come and tell you, they will come and tell you, Pastor has blessed you this weekend. What do you have to give to Pastor? You see, that stuff is not what you do when you are in church. What do you have to give the pastor? He say, hey, let me transfer 1,000. Plan in your heart that I will be so blessed. And because you've planned in your heart, you plan, you see, I'll be so blessed that my house will be so full that I will appreciate this man. That's the faith. So you come with faith in your heart, and attitude that shows that you have the faith. Now, second thing I'm going to say, and that's the last thing actually. First of all, I said there must be faith in your heart. You must show that you have the faith you want to receive. Secondly, I'm going to advise you, encourage you, and instruct you to participate fully in the meeting. And this is going to change a lot of things for us. Participate fully. You see, take notes, pray, sing, speak. Whatever we are doing, do. The reason is because there is something we call the corporate anointing. Have you heard of it before? That the corporate, when we gather like this, we are operating under that corporate anointing. What it means is that what God, when God begins to move and we are doing one thing, God is in that thing. You know what the Bible says? God inhabits the praise of his people. Let me explain that to you. When we gather like this in church and we are singing and jumping and dancing, you must do what all of us are doing. If you want to say, they're just singing. Me, I don't feel like singing. I'm just going to sit down and watch them. You're not going to get anything. Are you following me? Are you following me? You must cooperate. In Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, Bible said they were all seated in one accord. And so because all of them were there and praying and doing the same thing, when the move came, all the 120 of them, imagine if there were 120 people in the room and then Peter was leading and saying, You know they were praying for how many days? I've taught you this. How many days? 10 days. Jesus said they were praying for 10 days before that Acts 2 came. 10 days. They were praying. So Peter was leading prayer. They weren't even praying in tongues that time. So Peter was just saying, give God thanks, lift your voice, let's thank him. And then someone just sat down. Said, I'm not really this prayer team. You see, that move is going to come and the person will miss it. There was a meeting that I heard of. This one of God, this really challenged me a lot. That's why I take research meeting serious. Once there's a corporate anointing in the house, if all of us are jumping, start jumping. Because what is coming for the meeting is coming for what all of us are doing. It's coming for all of us. Now, they were in a meeting. Not a big meeting, not this meeting of 7-8 people. They were praying through the night. And they were praying. And then about 3-4 persons had slept. I'm talking about you, amen? Glory to God. About 3-4 persons had slept. Somewhere in the middle of the prayer, the other 4 or 5 that were awake started shouting. They had a corporate vision of Jesus. As Jesus entered the room, all of them saw him at the same time. Do you understand? So they had heavy impartations. All of them saw him, and it was so dramatic. All of them were saying the same thing. They all saw the same thing. It was an open vision for all of them. So by the time the whole thing lifted, they woke up and said, thank you, Jesus. The other people woke up and said, what happened? I said, Jesus just, they say, were we not also in the meeting? No, dear. We were praying. You were sitting. You thought we were being too spiritual. Hallelujah. We were singing in tongues. You were sitting and watching in the Holy Ghost.
We were rejoicing. And you felt we are being too playful. So what kind of church is this? Is it laugh for coming to laugh in church? Oh, that's it. You see, the move of God is in the meeting. Let me show you. In Acts 13, we've already seen that, verse 1. Bible said, they all ministered to the Lord and fasted. All of them were doing the same thing. That's why the move came for all of them. I'm telling you, will change your flow in Christian meetings. That's why I'm teaching now. Everybody's writing. Carry your pen and be writing. See, follow good influences. Everybody's writing. Be writing. If everybody starts singing and lifting hands, lift hands. If they say jump, jump. Let me explain something to you very shortly. Pay attention. You see this jumping thing I said? Once somebody mounts this stage, that person is now, let me be careful with the word, but it's now God talking to us. Everything God will have for us in meeting, he will speak from that person on the stage. You get the point? And if God, by that person, says, let all of us start shouting, you cannot be more spiritual than that. Shout. Are you getting me? I've been in, some of you know, sometimes I come to meetings and I just say, okay, let's all laugh. And then we all just start laughing. And then at the end, people say, I got my healing. You know, one of the testimonies that we had at Resio Fat, we've shared it. It was sent to my mail. I've shared it online and all that. Some of you remember. Remember on Sunday at Resio Fat, there was a particular guy I asked to run. I was just preaching. I had to die. You just have to run. And it wasn't a spiritual run. He ran. The run was funny. He ran, got to the other wall, matched the wall, ran back, matched the other wall, you know. And we all laughed. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I just felt as he ran. Later he sent me a testimony. He said he has been struggling with a certain pain. He said immediately he finished running like that, the pain came from everywhere and landed on him. He just found a way to sit down. And it looked like the whole thing kept going down and disappear. The pain has been there for long, just running. When there's a corporate anointing in the house, corporate doors. Are you telling me? That's why I said the flow. For instance, we say, okay, it's time. Hold your neighbor's hand. Pray in the Holy Ghost with the person. Give the person a word. Just follow what everybody's doing. If all of us are holding hands and talking, hold hands too. Do you understand me? He says, so I should be copying what people are doing. Uh-huh. The Bible said, be ye imitators of me. Imitate me. What? See, you see this thing, you want to be unique. Christianity is not a unique religion. It's not a unique faith. Are we unique? Our uniqueness is Christ. All of us are doing like Christ. So, tongues is tongues everywhere. In China, in Asia, in Japan, in US, tongues is tongues. So, when you see somebody dancing the Holy Ghost, dance that way between the Holy Ghost. Whatever we are doing is where the blessing is at that point. Like where the blessing is now in this meeting is in this message I'm preaching. And so if I'm preaching and then you are doing something else, you're going to miss out on whatever we are sharing this morning. You can be so attentive as I'm preaching and your healing is coming to you right there. You can be so attentive as I'm preaching and a miracle is coming to you right there. The direction you are looking for is away. Might just be in one casual example I'm going to give. Have you seen that happen? Casual or say, let me tell a story. I just tell a story. And wow, that's what you are looking for. Hallelujah. So when we begin to laugh with us. When we are worshiping, we say, lift our hands. Be buried in the worship. Lift your hands. There is something in it for you. Don't be found outside walking up and down when they are worshiping. When it is now what time? You now come and carry your pen like professor. Get into what we are doing. Get into it. We want to pray. Hold your hands. Pray out your life. Because in Zoe, we're going to have long sessions of prayer. Do you love to pray? Ah, yeah. I love praying. You know. We will pray. We'll be starting Saturday as in morning sessions. With intense prayer sessions. Intense. Hallelujah. That's not to scare you. That's to excite you. That's why we say when we are in meetings. You remember I normally teach you this. When you are in a meeting, involve all your senses. Remember I said that all your sense organs should be involved. What it means, your sense of hearing must be involved. Your sense of sight must be involved. You see? So I cannot be preaching and you're looking, look at me. I'm telling you, your sense of touch, involve your hand, be writing. Everything must be there. Your tongue must be involved. When we say, say praise the Lord, say praise the Lord. When we say amen, you see, and that's why, you see this amen matter? It can change people's destiny. Because your tongue is how you show that you are receiving what God is giving. So when we say, God has blessed you, and you just say, you are not ready for what is happening, what's coming. You must be that ready. Everything should be fully in the meeting. There is a corporate anointing. And what is that corporate anointing? The blessing is in what we are doing. Let me show you one Old Testament scripture, then we wind up from there. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. I showed you that last week, where the Bible said that the glory of God came down in the temple and the priests could not minister. What brought down that kind of favor? Of course, that cannot happen now. When the glory comes down now, we will stay and enjoy it. Amen. You know why they couldn't minister? Well, that's not for today. The thing was too much. They couldn't stand it. But the beautiful thing is, whatever physical thing we are going to see is resonating from our inside. So when it rises, we can stand there and face it and enjoy it and laugh. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then, see what happened. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. For all the priests, how many of the priests? Talk back to me. How many of the priests? All of them were sanctified and did not then wait by cause. Verse 12. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, had cymbals and psalteries and harps. So all of them were playing instruments. All of them stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Verse 13, everybody. It came even to pass, as a trumpet and singers, we are what? As what? It's not like somebody is doing something and everybody said, put up an NLT of this verse. King James said, the trumpeters and singers perform together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raise their voices and praise the Lord with these words. He is good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. If somebody was in that meeting and was not doing what everybody was doing, he would not participate in it. When it's time to lift hands, let's lift hands. When it's time to pray, let's pray. When it's time to sing, let's sing. When it's time to rejoice, let's rejoice. Flow with the meeting. The move of the Spirit is dependent on what we do in the meeting. So, what kind of Zoe do we want to have? We want a Zoe where every heart sets. Where every heart is connected. Where everybody is burning with expectation. Where everybody sets. Where everybody picks that there is a move here. Are you getting the point? That kind of conference. They are preaching. Some you are writing. You are muttering in tongues. Everything is in it. At a time, you will start hearing what the pastor is not saying. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You see, I'm talking about conference that is yet to come. But even right now in this meeting, we are having a strong... You know, there is this something coming around this meeting now. There is a presence. You are beginning to sense it already. We are talking about the conference that is coming. But once your heart is ready, that's how you leave meetings. You say, as I just left that meeting, everything is like the business started working. When did that happen? How come the business started working? You don't know. It might be that time we are all lifting our hands in worship. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is the truth. So after that meeting, I just came back. Do you know, it was when I came back, I realized that one pain I used to have here was no more there. When did it happen? It might be when we were all dancing. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's a move of God. And we are the people that determine the move. We determine the extent of the move. We determine how powerful the move will be. And if all our hearts will be set. You know the song that says, as we gather and your spirit dwells within us. Do you know the song? As we gather and we glorify you. your name, knowing well that as our hearts begins to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. This is the point. You can look at your neighbor and say, I'll be blessed because you came.
I'll be blessed because you came.
You'll be blessed because I 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 came.
I'll be blessed because you came.
I'll be blessed because you came.
That's the point. When all of us are flowing that way, you are a blessing to me. I'm a blessing to you in that kind of meeting. Are you getting the point? Yeah. That's why, you know, in meetings like Zoe, choose your seat. Choose your circle. Do you understand? When you notice that there's no network, they just call the usher, say, please, don't be offended. Please change me. You know that you used to do in exam hall? You know that thing? You don't know. May you never know in Jesus' name. You don't know. That thing that you come here looking for where there is MTN. So that you go and stay there. Your next exam, if you do it, they will catch you. They will catch you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well. I just thought I should say that. But that's how you flow in Christian meetings. You get into the meeting. If your neighbor is not in for something, we are saying pray. The guy is looking, twinching, go up and leave him and look at another person. Stay around where there is positive energy. I get the point. The place that you can, you know, there are some places you sit in program, you cannot sleep. Who born you? You know, that place where they say pray. Hold your neighbor and pray. You hold. I like that kind of atmosphere. That's where I used to locate and stay. You know, be praying. Please leave me now. Please. please leave. I've never held your hands in prayer sometimes. Once they leave, you change your seat. No? But that's the kind of place. When they say rejoice, they take off. And notice, let me give you a secret. That's the kind of place Pastor likes coming to. I'm telling you, when he wants to do, every pastor, when they want to say, do you want it? He wants to go to a place where there is, where they want it. I'm telling you a big secret. So he will locate that place and say, do you people want it? Yes. Take it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So do you want it? Glory to God. It's what we will want it. Stand to your feet. Let's just close from here. We are going to want it a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot. Glory to God. Let's do that song again. Something is moving. Something is changing. See His glory. This is heaven on earth. How many of you believe that? Something is going to change. So where will be that meeting for you? Where will be that meeting for you?
Something's moving.
Yes.
Something's changing.
Yes.
See His glory. This is heaven on earth.
Let's sing it.
Something's moving. Something's changing.
Yes, yes, yes.
See His glory. This is heaven.
Sing it one more time. Yes,
something's moving.
Yes, yes, yes.
Something's changing.
See His glory.
See His glory.
See His glory.
This is heaven.
Sing one more time.
Something's moving. Something's changing.
Yes.
See His glory.
Hiya.
This is heaven on earth.
Yes.
Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory.
Yeah.
This is heaven.
One more time.
Something's falling, something's shaking. His glory.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is heaven.
One more time, sing it again.
Something's moving, something's shaking. Yeah. His glory.
Yeah.
This is heaven.
Something's moving.
Something's moving.
Something's shaking.
Something's shaking.
See His glory.
His glory.
Yeah.
This is
something is moving in me.
Something is
touching in me. See His glory. See His glory. Something is moving in me.
Something is changing. See His glory. This is heaven. Something is moving. Something is changing.
Bring it out.
This is heaven on earth.
Pray the Holy Ghost. Blast it out wherever you are. Pray the Holy Ghost. I want to hear you. Grab somebody's hand by your side. Hey, da 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 Egebole, ayabale mana mana bala dio da da baba. Egebole mana mani anana. Eyabara baba la baba la baba la baba. Egebole manu marada. Egebole mana manada. Egebole mana mana bala baba. Ora mani anana. Ora bali anana. Ya 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 ya. Ego beya, ayabete manana ma, ayabete manana, ayabete manana, ayabete manana, okro boko go, ayayayayayayaya, da, umbra ba mandala ba, heyadara. Eyabara da da bash, ayabara da da bash, mandala balade, mandala balade, mandala balade, mandala balade, mandala balade, mandala balade, eyagabaya, eyagabaya, eyagabaya. Ya 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 ya. Ekro do 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 Mama de keke gush. Okno mo te fete kaka. Inamati na bete ya gash. Ebre de die 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 die. Emeto ne magaga. Emeto mena gaga. Emeto ne magaga. Matu na matega. Emadi anana niana nania. Eso fefe te gash. Mombro de te kayash. There is a betting of fervency. There is a betting of fervency. A betting of fervency. Hey, I cannot take us. Hearts on fire for Jesus. Hey. The meeting will see it. The meeting will have it. The meeting will see it. It will have it. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders, sounds of many waters, heaven on earth. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders, sounds of many waters, heaven on earth. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders. Sounds of many waters, heaven on earth. Lightning and thunders, miracles and wonders. Sounds of many waters, heaven on earth. Lightning and thunders, miracles and wonders. Sounds of many waters, heaven on earth.
Say there is
lightning and thunder.
There is
miracles and wonders.
There is
sound of many waters. Heaven on earth.
Oh, there is
lightning and thunder.
There is
miracles and wonders.
There is
sound of many waters. Heaven on earth.
Hey, there is
lightning and thunder. Miracles and wonders. Sound of many waters.
Father,
we receive a supernatural meeting. Soon I make a neck and ear de cash.
Ah.
You know, someone has a breathing condition. You're struggling with your breath, and it intensified this week that just ended. Right now, there is healing where you are, and that issue just ceased totally. Yeah. That breathing issue, it just ceased. You can breathe well now. You can breathe better now. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I heard the Lord say to someone, your dreams, not just your visions you had, no. So there are dreams you've seen in the night of things God will do through you. You will walk into them in Zoe. You will walk into them. The visions that God has, those dreams you sleep, you see them. You will walk into them. You will walk into them. You will walk into them. There's a song in my heart. We say we will never
settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less.
Sing it.
We know there's more that's found in you.
One more time. I will never say. Hallelujah. We will not settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. Let me hear your voice. I will never settle for less. Sing, let me hear your voice.
I will never settle for less.
Let me hear your voice. Sing it.
Hey.
Sing one more time.
I will never, never say.
I know. Yes.
Do it
one more time. I will never settle for less. Let me hear you say.
I will never settle for less. I know there's more that's found in you. I will never settle for less.
Hey!
I know there's more that's found in you.
There is more in the way. Ha ha!
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.